Hey, Joes. Stay around after the show for some outtakes. Not really outtakes so much, but table talk. That's not really adventure specific, but we talk a little bit. So stay around and take a listen to that.
This is Flint, and you're listening to G.I. Joe. The adventure continues.
I don't remember exactly where we left off, so I need a reminder. Hardman helped me out a little bit when I asked on the Discord. I need a little bit more to kind of get me in that headspace so we can wreak havoc.
We just got back from talking with Old One Arm, and he offered us a job, gave one of us a credit card. I don't remember who, not me. Took the credit card, and we were assuming that it was a recording device. So we made all sorts of plans, but then decided, well, we're going to copy the credit card onto our card reader. We're going to then dismantle it to see if there was a listening device in it. Yeah, no listening device. If there was a listening device, well, then we're not going to do anything that he wanted because then he knows our plans. Without a listening device, plan is to basically be double agents. Sure, we'll do it. I'm assuming they believe we're going to be double agents anyways, so that's for everybody. But anyways, that's pretty much where we ended. Is us saying, like, oh, credit card looks good. Time to start buying some Bugattis. I believe you promised us a Bugatti.
Oh, we have a burner phone in which we've contacted Torque, and he's let Boogaloo in on what's
and
going on.
And we bought a Bugatti. I believe that was part of it.
Pretty sure those are on order. You don't actually have them.
Okay, good. They're on order, though.
He ordered them, and yeah, he gave it to, not that it really matters, but he gave the card to Greystone originally.
They only import 5 Bugattis a year, so you're going to be waiting on.
Good thing we're getting 4 of them. That's what I heard. I mean, that's what GM promised us last time.
Okay. I didn't hear
you asked for a recap.
The words I was looking for. So you didn't meet the guy?
Yeah, no, we did meet. We were at a hotel room, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it was One Arm or somebody brought the main backer, whoever it was. I forget who it was, what if they gave us a name.
Oh, that's where we ended.
His name is Quetzalcoatl.
You do even clean that up.
The winged serpent. His colors they're kind of Serpentor-like. So they're green and gold, kind of like Serpentor. But his uniform is more of a cross between what Serpentor's classic armor is like and Cobra Commander with the mirror faceplate. You can see his face, and he looks like a Caucasian man. So there's not, just because he calls himself the Latin winged serpent, he doesn't have that South American, Central American kind of cast to his skin.
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero.
G.I.
Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up. He's always there. Fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe! G.I. Joe is there!
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe!
This is G.I. Joe, a real American hero. The adventure continues. This is a bi-weekly G.I. Joe role-playing game where our group of Joes is continuing the never-ending battle against Cobra. Set 40 years after the organization of the original G.I. Joe group, we find a new group of Joes going up against the evil forces of Cobra. Join us on this mission as these Joes risk life and limb to stop the terrorist organization known as Cobra!
Okay, so he walks in, and I guess the best look for him is picture Cobra Commander's mirror faceplate costume, but not in blue, in like green and gold like Serpentor. And he's got a couple of applets and fancy doodads. He's got a cape. The faceplate he's wearing is not mirrored. You can see into it, but there's obviously a protective helmet there. He's smiling, very big. He whisks you off to a private dining room in the hotel, and there's already a full spread there and half a dozen waiters and waitresses ready to cater to your almost every whim. He escorts you in. Paolo is still with you. Paolo is one arm guy, and he refuses to talk business for the first half hour. Everything is about eating and getting to know you. He asks everyone some poignant questions to the point where you understand that he has been given files on you. He may not know your real names, but he knows your G.I. Joe code names. He knows your kind of highlights of your education. So he's got somebody in the government who's got access to like super top secret files, but he doesn't have everything. Like I said, he doesn't have your real names. He doesn't drop hints that he knows that you have relatives that are alive or where they are or anything like that. But he is more informed than he should be. Okay. But he doesn't present it in a threatening way. He uses it to make delightful small talk and conversation during the meal. The meal is mostly Mediterranean fare, a lot of fruits, some custom deli meats and things, and it's almost like a table-length charcuterie board. So it's a lot of, you know, walk around with a plate and pick some finger food type stuff. There's a wide selection. You have no trouble filling yourself up. He's American by birth and nationality. He also doesn't give his real name. He gives a couple of salient points. He was a member of the military, but he doesn't identify what branch. Although he does say, as he's telling an anecdote, that he spent some time at Fort Hood. And he's perfectly charming. If you met him at a bar and he bought you a beer, you know, you'd be friends. Kind of deal. And after the main course is done, one of the waitresses brings out like coffee for everyone. And most of the meats and cheeses and things are taken away and replaced with a dessert cart. But, you know, like the super charcuterie board, this is like a dessert cart that a fancy restaurant, you know, waitress would walk around with this cart. But the cart is the size of the dining room table that you're sitting at, which can comfortably hold 10 or 12 people. So it's pretty big. And the whole thing, you know, pound for pound, if you're given a Yelp review, it'll probably be the second best dinner party you've ever been to in your life. There's options to have wine. You notice that they are available. They're on a table over by a waitress, but he doesn't offer them to you. He offers you sodas and waters and coffee and things like that. He doesn't want to be insulting or be obvious, like he's trying to get you drunk so he can do something. But it's very obvious the alcohol is available. You just have to ask for it. And one or two of you may actually ask for it. You know, there's beer, there's wine, there's a variety of bourbons and whiskeys. Basically, any basic drink that you could want is here or can be made. And that's pretty much how everything is. I mean, the dinner, there's not like pizza, but, you know, any basic dish that you could possibly want is here or can be made in some form. And this guy's a delightful conversationalist. You know, if Paolo hadn't tried to kill you a couple times, you know, you would kind of feel like he would be somebody that you could like. He's got the Middle European accent going, which is a little annoying from him. And he's a smidge arrogant because, you know, you have faced each other in battle a couple times. But he's also delightful company. If circumstances were slightly different, you could probably be friends with him too. And other than they don't get into any discussions that could lead into politics, no religion. He doesn't really offer you things about himself, but you pick up a couple of things like the Fort Hood thing while he's telling you stories and anecdotes about how he grew up or where he grew up or, you know, relevant to the conversation that you're having. And Paolo is, you know, if Quetzalcoatl is like an 8 on a scale of 10. Paolo's doing the same thing, but he's down more like a 5. And this takes about 45 minutes, you know? Everything's relaxed. Nothing's hurried. He doesn't give a lot of signals to the waiters and waitresses that are kind of floating around. They all seem to have experience, like they've done this before. You know, plates are taken off in a timely manner. Drinks are refilled without you having to say anything. No one speaks to you unless they're spoken to. It's all well done. Despite the fact that, you know, these two are bad guys, they're pretty cool. So about the time the dessert cart is kind of rolled out and the first two or three courses, you know, any basic dessert is here. They have ice cream. They have a variety of cakes and pies. You can mix and match to make some of the more exotic things, chocolate and lemon and all kinds of Mediterranean style flavored stuff. And you could seriously, you know, fill yourself up and go take a nap if you feel like indulging to that point. But about the time dessert's rolled out, he waits until everyone is served. He finishes up whatever anecdote he's in the middle of, because he always kind of seems to be in the middle of an anecdote. And after you guys are served, he's sure that you're settled. He's got a cup of coffee. He doesn't do any dessert. He just has a cup of coffee. He sips the coffee. And he's like, well, that, my friends, was lovely. We should make this a regular thing and do this more often. I don't get a chance very often to simply relax and enjoy the company. Even if our partnership doesn't progress beyond this point, this was a lovely evening, and I will cherish it in my memories always. Now, I understand that the circumstances of your being here are not above board, and that is my mea culpa. I apologize for the circumstances, but it was necessary to have this meeting in this way. I'm a member of Cobra, and I like the base of Cobra and the tenets, individual freedom, and more to the fact that America could be better. Clearly, there are things wrong with the world today. And America is the last great superpower. America leads the way in all of the things that are broken. But I don't want to digress too much. This is not my TED Talk. At the end of the day, I like to view myself as a practical man. And I needed you to be in the position you're in so that you can help America. And I understand that you're immediately going to write this off as me playing to your patriotism, but it's more than that. I'm helping you to help you to help me.
You keep saying the word help, but I don't know that you know what that word means, because I'm a little concerned about the entrapment aspect.
I do. I understand, but I'm going to try to make it better. And he seems a little doubtful while he's saying that. You can kind of read his eyes that maybe he's not entirely sure about that. But
real quick, what are we not sure about? Are we talking about his sincerity or his ability to do it?
Basically his sincerity. You don't know anything about his capabilities yet, other than Extensive Enterprises has some sort of backing for him because Paolo's here. And Paolo actually seems to be working for him, but he takes a sip of coffee and lets you digest that for a second. And he says, Cobra, after the great defeat in 1997, I forget exactly when the Marvel comic book ended, but that's the great defeat. Cobra has been splintered and factioned to the point where it's fighting itself as much as doing anything outside of existing, and I need to change that. And I'm giving you the opportunity to help yourselves while also helping me. You've already killed Serpentor, and as he says that, he lifts his coffee in a salute at Dell's. So you're not exactly sure how he knows all this, but he knows, and he takes another sip of coffee, and he says, Cobra Commander is an old man, essentially trapped on Cobra Island. No one's seen him since the incident with Dr. Vermin's creations. Destro has one foot in the grave. Extensive Enterprises has wisely entered into a partnership with me, and I want to reunite all the factions. Cobra doesn't need to have a Hydra aspect. We don't need to be out there doing 10 different things with 12 different people having 20 different agendas. So I'll cut to the chase. I know this is running a little long, and I'm sure you would like me to get to the point. I want you to kill the other leaders and give me control of Cobra. And in exchange, I promise not to do anything for 10 years. I'll make your lives easy.
So an armistice is essentially what you're proposing, as long as we
setting
eliminate the competition.
Yeah, basically. I mean, what are you going to do anyway? Capture them and turn them over to the Hague? That'll take 50 years. You'll never see the end of Cobra Commander's trial. Cobra Commander will die before anyone sees the end of Cobra Commander's trial.
I'm sorry. Do we look like mercenaries, like hitmen?
You have a very good point, Hardman, which is why I added the incentive of you being treasonous criminals.
But just because you say it and just because you make it look that way, it doesn't change who we really are, though.
Granted. Very true. He doesn't have anything in his hand, okay? But he lifts his hand up and he doesn't wave, doesn't point, just lifts his hand up. And three TVs come on at various points in the room, all tuned to different 24-hour news stations, CNN, Fox, you know, CNBC or whatever. Pick your top three. And all of them are running news reports about what happened to you guys.
Are we dead? Are we dead according to that?
Were you dead?
I think so.
According to the news, we were killed in a shootout.
I didn't frame you for anything? I thought I framed you for stuff.
You framed us, then killed us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were framed, and yeah, that was the running. As we were running, we were being framed for various things. And then at some point near the end, we died in a shootout.
Yeah.
Right, right.
As far as the world's concerned, the four of us were killed in a shootout.
Yes, and the only person that actually knows that we're alive is Tor.
Okay. So, seeing as how you're not alive to defend yourselves, you know, I don't want to be the threatening guy. So let me start off with your yearly salary. And he takes a pen from Lord knows where he pulled a pen out of, but he has a pen, writes a number on a napkin, folds it in half, and slides it over to the nearest person. I don't care who.
I'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pointedly ignoring it.
Yeah, yeah. So, Lord.
So what's the number written on the paper?
It's an exorbitant number.
Never have to wear the same pair of socks twice type number.
Yes, it is exactly that number. I have a 5-year plan, and I'm prepared to pay each one of you that amount of money per year to the point that as long as we keep on track.
Keep on track. So what is the murder rate that you're going to need for keeping on track?
Well, there are 3 leaders left. Cobra Commander, Destro. Well, I kind of include the Baroness in with Destro. Billy.
So you're not worried about Zartan?
No. Zartan can be bought. There might be some issues with Cobra Law, but basically you have 4 targets and 5 years to kill them all. I don't care what order or under what circumstances, so long as at the end of our 5-year relationship, the 4 of them are dead and I have complete control over all factions of Cobra.
I don't know that we can control if you have full control of Cobra. We can eliminate some targets. Control is going to be up to you.
And eliminating those targets will
open a vacuum,
which I am already prepared to fill.
Basically, in the absence of true leadership, fools will follow anybody.
I've already begun making inroads with Serpentor's cabal. I should have them fully underneath my banner within the next 3 months. And you did that one for free. Might as well get paid for it and do the same thing.
Well, it wasn't our intention to kill Serpentor. It wasn't like we set out to murder him. It's just one of those things that happens.
Sure. It was Gal's fault. That guy. He forgot to take the rubber bullets. Weird.
I understand the heat of battle. I understand that, you know, sometimes things happen. I'm just letting you off the chain to let those things happen more often.
I think we need to have a conversation amongst us and figure this all out.
Oh, absolutely.
So after we complete this mission for you, again, in quotes,
sure.
What is your plans for us, or what's to happen to us, considering we're technically, in quotes, dead?
Sure. I will fix that. I mean, I'm sure you noticed the fact that you weren't actually involved in the gunfight in which you died.
Of course.
I'm sure you've noticed that you're not actually dead.
Oh, I realize that.
Yeah. I'm just making sure we both understand each other. I have people that, at the push of a button in 5 minutes of time, can release videos framing a couple of people who produced high quality videos of this false report. It'll take probably 3 months and a couple of congressional hearings. But, you know, once I push the button, you should be free and clear in 4 months.
I want to die with honors. Or are we not going to be dead at the end of your name clearing?
You won't be dead.
Oh, okay. It would go a real long way if, you know, our names were cleared before we made an acceptance here. Show good faith, if you will.
I appreciate the bargaining chip that that represents. But really, at this juncture, since we don't have a working relationship yet, I'm afraid I need the bargaining chip a little bit more than you do.
I mean, but the croissants, just think what the croissants we just had.
Yes, they were delightful. I'm going to hire that personal chef.
Of course, since we're dead and no longer part of G.I. Joe, you do understand that we will need full equipment.
Yes, and I'm prepared to offer you that. I might even be a smidge better.
Well, as Thorne said, we do need to discuss this privately.
Absolutely. Would you prefer to do it here, or do you want to go somewhere else? You have your hotel rooms. I can leave, however you want to do it.
I think we'd like to take a walk.
Okay.
Go to the library.
All right. Well, clearly, I won't put any more pressure on you. The dinner was lovely. Thank you for the wonderful conversation and company. I hope we will talk to each other again soon.
I'm going to stand up, walk over the door and open it.
He takes the cue, gets up, dabs the corners of his mouth with his napkin, and says, don't forget the card's only got like 8 hours left on it. So my clout extends only so far. I can only push through 2 of the Bugattis. You guys will have to fight amongst yourselves who gets them first.
Good to know.
He bows ever so slightly, walks out of the room. Paolo hesitates for 30 seconds or so, slams the rest of his little espresso coffee drink he's got, and then he also walks out with not quite so charming.
As soon as he leaves, I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to turn to the group and put my finger on my lips, like, you know, I'm going to say, let's take a walk, guys.
I'm going to kind of put my palms to the air, like, oh, obvious.
Just making sure.
Hey, how do we handle this without Greystone?
Well, that's hand wavium type stuff. He's doing something else.
He's agreed to go with what we've decided.
That's usually how it goes. Or he'll go along simply because he's not here to participate. Maybe he's trying to get a hold of Torque or somebody at G.I. Joe headquarters just to, you know, kind of prove or start the process rolling that you guys aren't really dead, nor are you really wanted criminals or anything like that. I'm saying maybe he went to meet Torque and work out a plan or something because your HTBs are still broken.
Yeah.
Just external reasons why he's not here. And then we'll give it about 5 minutes or so for them to clear out, and then we'll all start heading out and assume people are following me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll follow.
I think Thorne's going to have another croissant on the way out, probably.
Grew up poor. I'm not leaving these sweet croissants there. Imagine the guy, you know, walking out of the old country buffet, just kind of grabbing some to-go hands.
If you had a purse, you'd be loading it up.
Before you put the plastic bag in the purse for all the shrimp.
Oh, it's my grandmother.
It's my mother.
No shame in the game.
Anyway.
Pull out a gallon Ziploc bag. Where the hell did that come from?
Go out on the street where we can be relatively alone.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, what city are we in again? Did we ever decide? Houston, okay.
I mean, I would just assume anything we say could and is being recorded by something. They could have a long-distance recording device. There, if we're outside, they could have all sorts of things. So,
but I figured it'd be a bit easier to have a bit more of a private conversation out here. Than
I'm going to assume we're talking in semi-code, like a Joe code, even though it may sound like to the listening audience that we're talking just regular English. Just trust me. This is actually G.I. Joe code talk. I'm sure we have something.
Yeah, there's got to be some basic code that you can fall back into. It's fine. You can speak in English, and I'll raise the difficulty to any listening devices that may or may not be listening to you right now.
Excellent.
Okay. And as we're walking, I'm keeping a watch out for any surveillance we can find or anything like that. Anyone's keeping
an eye on us. So here's the weird thing. He's right. We're going to try to capture these guys anyways, right?
Right.
And the reality is we do nothing, and we still try to capture them. Or we allow a tax break for the American taxpayer. We take his money and end up helping the American population. Or, you know, we stand by our morals, get 2 of them, and then go back and attack him, right? He could be our third target, and then we just finish out the last one. But whatever's going to happen, you know, it's better for us, I think, to be involved than it is for us to be on the sidelines as somebody consolidates power.
We don't have a choice at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, either we go off and live in, you know, Abu Dhabi, or not even Abu Dhabi. We go off and live in, you know, the Amazon and hope that nobody finds us, or we take this. There's only so much money on that card. Well, I shouldn't say so much money. Just There's plenty of money. It's just only going to get us so far.
You know, we said we would take this and make it seem like we're on their side to find a way to stop them. So, yeah, I just hesitate on shooting. Well, I like shooting, but I don't like killing just to kill.
What if we don't have to kill? I mean, it's not like he's asked for a severed head.
Right. I'm sure he's going to be mourning somehow.
What if it looks like they're dead?
Yeah, I mean, we could try that route.
Yeah, we try to fake their death. We can try that and see what happens.
I mean, you know, tranks with blood splatter.
And again, don't get me wrong. I mean, if they die, I won't say naturally, but if it's not an assassination, I guess.
Okay, let's look at this. If we had to choose our target, who's the best one to go after first?
So that's a debate between Billy or Cobra Commander.
On his island, Billy's still going to be more potent. And I'd be more concerned about Billy being able to rapidly take over Cobra Commander's spot and consolidate those powers. And if we get to a point where there's two superpowers, it might get out of our out of control. Get rid of Billy and nobody gets stronger.
Yeah.
So would you say Cobra Commander's last
or
target?
Destro. Destro just applies weapons.
I think Cobra Commander's the least of the threats at this point.
And that's what I was worried about, maybe him first, because he seems to be the lesser, being the older, and, I mean, let's face it, he's never been the best, but...
But, like was already stated, if Cobra Commander's taken out, that leaves a vacuum for someone to come in and take over his subjects. Would it be easier for Billy to do it other than this other guy? Because if Billy does it, then that doubles his force.
Right, yeah, no, that Thorne had a good point there, so yeah. And what were you going to say, God? I mean, here.
Cobra Commander may be the theoretically easiest target, but you don't know the status of Cobra Island after your last visit.
Right.
So he might be the easiest target to kill, but he might actually be the most difficult to get to.
And that's what Thorne was saying. I agree with you, Thorne. That's probably Billy at this bit is our...
So is Billy the most dangerous?
I think they're all dangerous in their own regard. I mean, Cobra Commander was probably the most dangerous because he has Cobra Island and who knows what he has going on there. But like Thorne said, if we take Cobra Commander out, Billy will probably step into that role and become two or three times more dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's why I think no matter who, you know, they're all dangerous. So yeah, I think probably Billy is probably the best. And if we are going to go for the fake assassination, honestly, he may be one of the best ones to agree to it.
He is a coward.
Well, I'm not saying he's a coward, but Billy's means a coward.
That's the wrong word.
No, he trained with Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, so he's no coward.
Yeah,
and he worked with the Joes for a while.
I had my mind on Cobra Commander, like the guy who might be willing to quickly give up.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking Billy might be, because again, he's younger, he's able to think, I think, able to think maybe a little more clearly in Cobra Commander, more rationally, I guess is the proper word. And we might be able to convince him of the logic of our plan.
So if we take Billy out of the equation, who takes over his force?
Well, theoretically, Oxawaddle. I know it's the wrong word, but it's the only thing I can think of. I keep thinking Oxawaddle with him.
What's a quaddle? You think that'd be closer than Cobra Commander?
Oh, yeah. I think honestly that they may that may splinter a little bit more.
Okay.
Cobra Commander may get some. Quixie may get some. Destro may get some. Instead of if we take out Cobra Commander, I think Billy would take over, and all he would have all of his plus Cobra Commanders. Yeah. So,
okay. So now look at it. And if we take Destro first,
well, the big thing about taking Destro, if we take him out, then it's the weapon supply. And really, Destro's guys aren't going to be like, I love Cobra. Destro's guys are Mars employees, right? They're not necessarily looking employees, right?
Yeah.
Their whole deal is Destro.
Okay.
So, well, you know, and having said that, maybe Destro might be the best choice because then Quixie might be able to come and take over those guys.
Which would show good favor to him.
And would also give us less to have to fight at this point.
Theoretic weapons. Yes. That could be good.
And also, yeah, Destro has the weapons, in quotes, more weapons.
And Destro's all about the money, so I'm sure he's still selling weapons to Cobra Commander and Billy. Really?
I'm sure. If we can stop that.
Which weakens them.
My only, having discussed this, maybe Destro might be the better choice.
That's what I'm saying.
My thought is, once we do whatever we're doing, what do we do about our new friend Quixie? Are we going after him next, or?
Oh, you think we're going to take out one and go after him?
No, no. Take out take out Destro, Billy, Cobra Commander. Destro, Billy. Am I missing somebody? Destro, Billy, Cobra Commander.
Oh, we're lost.
Well, we're told we don't have to worry about them. I'm really thinking what we need to do is take out two of our targets and then take out Quicks. Seems to me that's the move. If there's going to be any chance of us, like, getting Quicks. Because if we don't get him at that point, we're still, quote-unquote, in his good graces, we ain't never going to see him again.
So, yeah, you're right.
Once he has all the organizations, we'll never see him again. Which is why I was thinking, if we just left Destro to the end, all he's doing is selling weapons. I mean, it's bad. But he's not enacting plans to take over the governments. He'll sell them to governments. He doesn't care. He's just selling weapons. So leaving him to, quote-unquote, last allows us to take off two people who are actively trying to destroy the world.
Let me present this to you, Thorn. Going on your plan of taking out two of the groups, which of the three do you think would be the most likely to team up with us against Quixie? Do you think Destro would team up with us?
Yes. Destro.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Dollars.
That sounds good to me. And so, again, plans are only good until they're enacted. Yeah, so we start, yeah. So we go and agree to his plans, agree to his terms, and go for Billy and then Cobra Commander, then play it by ear and possibly try to take out Quixie next. Sounds like a plan to me, unless anyone does anything else.
So, well, at the same time, when you think of the fact that we're dead.
I don't know this Quixie guy. I don't know if I trust him to keep his word to bring us back. So I think that we continue doing what we're doing right now, work the assumption that he's telling the truth, let him think he's telling the truth, and then we can deal with all that once the dust settles.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is we sort of need, in wrestling terms, it'd be another gimmick. I mean, Thorn is dead. Kit Bash is dead. You know, you're dead. We have to have new gear, new look, new name.
Well, again, I mean, as far as for right now, I don't think we need to do anything because if we need to have a name to do these missions, I'm sure Quixie people can get us something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should be able to get fake ideas to get on a plane.
The only concern is what to do once we're all clear and done with everything, but that's for down the road.
Which probably why in some way or another G.I. Joe needs to be kept in the loop.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And that we're gonna do that, and that's what Greystone's doing right now. He's getting things set up to keep us in communication with them somehow. So yeah, no, keeping them in the loop's definitely part of the plan. Once Greystone's back, we should have ways to communicate with Joe somehow.
So Eric,
yeah.
What is what determines that G.I. Joe believes us?
That is not my problem.
Not the GM Eric's problem or not Quixie's problem?
You're the GM. Everything's your problem.
No, I'm the facilitator. I make sure dramatic stuff happens and you guys have a reasonable chance of success at the end. But as far as what you can do to make G.I. Joe believe you, that you're not dead and you're not treasonous criminals or whatever, that particular aspect is not my problem.
Like I said, that's for us to deal with at a later time.
That's inconvenient.
Greystone being gone right now, hopefully we can use that later on to set things up to ease our path back to redemption, as it were. But yeah, that's going to be on us later.
So we have 8 hours to use this card. We might actually need to buy an island that's separate from the United States in case they don't believe us. We have a place to go. Philippines is nice, and there's like 1,400 islands for sale.
All right, well, here's a card. Get working on it.
Yeah, I think in summary, though, we're making sure I've got the plan. We are going after Billy first, or no?
Yeah, Billy, Cobra Commander. Did we get Destro to team up with us against Quixie?
So, what do y'all want from Cobra?
Oh, croissants.
I mean, nothing.
Get some more croissants on order real quick. Just get that out of the way.
We need to load Thorn up with croissants. And other than that, I mean, he's going to give us what we need, I think, to go along. So I think it's going to be mission specific.
Sure, sure.
I don't think we need anything extra beyond what we require for the mission, because he's already given us a crap ton of money a year for the next 5 years.
Yeah, money's not going to be an issue after this. I'm thinking, though, having potentially put in a down payment on a condo somewhere, you know, buy ourselves a safe house or something.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Someplace.
Well, that's what the card's for.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do that now. Like,
yeah.
Well, I say we, as we go along, pet part of our money back and use that to set up. So I wouldn't pet a, yes, go to, see if you buy an island for us. Go for it. What the hell? But I say as we go along, we stack some of the money back and use that, the money we actually get to buy a safe house, something that's not on Cobra's card, if you will.
That's fair.
It might make it a little easier for us to hide from everybody if, you know, we're not using Cobra's card to buy it. That's my
one
thought.
Thing we could have a Cobra known safe house just so we have something right away. And then, yeah, we should definitely be funneling money and protecting ourselves for the, yeah, drop for the inevitable issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I say we head back to the hotel and accept his offer, as it were.
A boat for the river. It could be a safe zone for us. Something we can move around.
Right.
Always wanted a boat.
Well, there you go. Let's go ahead and head back to the hotel. And
hey, so since we do have this card,
right,
and we might need some help, we could always hire the Dreadnought.
I mean, yeah. You got his phone number? You got 8 hours.
Yeah, actually, you do.
I'm sure our new friend does.
Oh, you guys have it. You met Zartan before at that bar in California. Yeah. That's their main headquarters. You have the phone number to that bar.
We know how to get hold of them. We know where they're at. All right, well, we're headed back to the hotel.
All right. One thing, because I keep forgetting she exists, and I'm trying to not do that. So while you guys are out talking, walking, and whatever, you walk across a park. It's a wide open park. It's not fenced in at all. It's just a place where people can picnic or walk or, you know, so there's some hard dirt roads. Nothing's paved. There's no asphalt or anything, but there's a lot of trees. There's people, you know, jogging and walking their dog and things like that. And one moment you're having your discussion about, you know, who to attack first and where Billy is and where Cobra Commander is and where Destro is. And then the next moment, Silent Interlude is there. And she doesn't say anything.
Not sure that Thorn knows Silent Interlude.
Greetings, Silent Interlude.
She nods.
So what do you got?
Do any of you know sign language?
No. Do you think about that as a language? Okay. No.
I'm sure she carries a pad of paper.
She does. She's like, she's always crisp and to the point. She writes down on her little notepad, what's the plan?
I'm not sure what you know, how much of this you caught. Well, she wasn't with us in the room, was she?
I think she started off there, and then we kind of forgot she existed, so.
as you should with a good ninja.
Yeah, yeah.
So
she was in the room?
She was not. She is not Quetzalcoatl.
Okay.
But she was probably with you when you died.
Okay. So she knows the situation that we're all in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to recap the situation with her about Quixie's whole plan or whatever, and that we're tentatively agreeing to go along with him in the hopes of taking him down at some point. Our plan at this point is to take out Billy and then Cobra Commander. If we can, we're going to try to fake their death. But if they die during the ensuing battle, it happens. And we're going to see if we can get Destro to team up with us to take out Quixie next. And then we can deal with Destro, and then we'll have to work on getting our lives back.
She stops. She looks confused for a second. And then she starts scribbling furiously. And basically she writes, you know, she's got that little like flip notepad that you can like buy at Walmart for like a buck. And she writes like 3 pages worth of stuff. And it basically comes down to she strongly believes, and the stuff that she writes has many more expletives than I'm about to, you know, give, but pepper it with colorful language and you'll have what she's written. She's of the opinion that you guys, and she says we, she's including herself, should take out Destro first, because Destro is the main armaments for all of the other guys. So starve them out, so to speak, in air quotes.
That's sort of what I was thinking.
Yeah, you know, we'd had that discussion. We had that thought. We thought Destro might be easier to
control.
But at the same time, we also said Billy might be the most willing to work with us, to convince.
Right.
What's her relationship with Billy? Does she have one?
She doesn't have one. She is aware of him. But she was maybe starting her training when he was ending his. They may be aware of each other, but they don't have a relationship. Billy's late 40s. He's He was a couple of years younger than me in the comic books when I was reading it. So I'm picturing that he's 47, 48.
Yeah, when he first appeared back in 82, 83, he was like 10 years old.
Yeah, as was I. I always considered him a couple of years younger than me. So we'll stick with that.
And so we did discuss going after Destro.
We did.
Well, if we do that, if we go to Destro, and then, I mean, assuming we
can, like, the original. Because remember, the point was brought up that if we take out Destro, his men aren't going to align probably with any of them.
Well, and I think they may align with Quixie's men out of any of the groups. And that was one of the reasons, in my opinion, not to go for Destro first, is that we might be able to get him to team up with us to take out Quixie while he's trying to take over the other two teams.
But with Billy, who was part of the GI Joe for a while, it might be easier to convince him.
Okay.
Especially knowing his hatred for his dad.
I'm going to play Silent Interlude as I picture that she would feel. Don't interpret this as me pushing you in a direction. Okay.
Oh, I know. No, just.
Yeah.
Silent Interlude's thoughts has thrown a blanket over my. I'm like, well, that's a good point.
Yeah. And I, as the dungeon master or the game master, I'm not trying to swivel you to Destro. If you guys decide that you're going to take out Billy, or if you decide that you're going to go to Cobra Commander's Island, I will do whatever direction you want to go in. I'm fine with that. You guys make the decision. I'm just playing Silent Interlude as I kind of have her written out.
Right. Okay? No, yeah, it's cool.
And
that to cause confusion.
She thinks you're dumbasses.
Oh, we are.
Because Quetzalcoatl, and she uses his full proper name, already has extensive enterprises while you're plotting to take down Destro. So all of the other factions are less armed when we go after them, have extensive enterprises, start a hostile takeover or something.
Well, see, but part of our plan was to just take out two of the groups and get a third one to team up with us and go after Quixie before we're done. That way he hopefully doesn't realize we're going after him.
I do think Billy might be the easiest to convince. With Destro, you're just paying him, and Quincy could always pay him more.
And you have the best relationship with Billy. Billy may technically be an enemy, but as far as you know, he respects you.
Yeah, I got the same impression from
Destro,
too.
Except for the whole stealing the laptop thing. I imagine he's excited about that.
All fair in love and war.
And we saw that end up for us, so.
I mean, I'll go with the group. I'll go with the decision of the group, but I do think Billy's the best one to team with.
I think Billy's got the best chance of building a strong Cobra by himself, if given any kind of leverage. I think killing Destro does nothing to adjust the situation other than somebody else will make weapons for them.
But they're used to getting it from Destro, Mars.
It'll disrupt it for a little while. Not wrong.
And maybe long enough for us to go after Cobra's group.
And you might even have Billy join us to go after Cobra Commander.
So let's. I'm hesitant to join Billy vocally that early because I want it to be a surprise when we go after Quixie. But let's go ahead and for now we're going to agree to those plans. We're going to join the team up in quotes with Quixie, work for him, and we'll set our sights on Destro, and then we'll modify it as we go along as we need to. Anyone disagree with that?
If that's the plan to go after Destro, sure. I'm just curious on why old No Talkie here pops up as a decision. What's her motive?
Again, she comes from Snake Eyes, so I trust her motives.
She shoots Thorn kind of sidelong glance, like, what are you talking about? But she scribbles on her paper that she's thinking tactically, and maybe you guys are caught up in, like, being dead and stuff, but if you're better armed than Billy is, then who cares about his tactics? You'll have an easier time killing him.
And going after Dresser was one of my original thoughts. Because again, like she said, we cut off the supplies. And it may be a temporary fix, but it would be enough, I think, to swing things in our favor when we do go after Cobra Commander. So, all right, let's go ahead and head back to the hotel and get the ball rolling.
She mimes the phone to her ear and indicates that she's just a phone call away, and she jumps back up into a tree and disappears.
I'm just going to nod at her as we start to head back. And I'm assuming we have a phone number for her?
Yeah.
Assume so. I just want to make sure clear what she's doing here. Or she's leaving. All right. So let's go ahead and head back.
Yeah. You're back at the hotel. Everything seems sedate and calm. night manager greets you by name. Well, that's a thing. And he uses like your code names as your last name. So Mr. Hardman, Mr. Thorn, welcome back. Your rooms have been cleaned. Your bedding's been turned down. Can I do anything for you?
Croissants. I'll be in my room.
I'll have some delivered to your room very shortly.
We'll head to our room.
I assume we all have separate rooms, right?
All on the top floor. Not quite penthouses. This hotel doesn't really have penthouses, but you definitely have the nicest rooms in the place. Okay. The plan, what are we doing?
We're going to reach out to Quixie.
You can do that.
Give him a phone call.
Do we have his number?
I'm sure we do.
I'm going to look around. Do we have anything with his phone number on it? Did he leave anything for us? I don't know if we'd ask the front desk to ring him up. So,
okay.
Actually, didn't he give us a burner phone or something at one time? Not him, but the other guy. Didn't he give us a burner phone? Or he at least gave us a number.
Hello gave you a burner phone, but it was more for your use, I think, rather than there were no numbers. Whoa, no, there was. There was one number in it.
His number was in it, wasn't it?
Yeah, you have Paolo's cell phone number.
Yeah, so we can use that to call him to have him send Quicksilver to us.
Okay. That whole process takes about 3 minutes, because apparently he's staying in the hotel somewhere. No one mentions a room number. You don't mention what room that you're congregating in, whether it's, you know, Thorns or Kitbash's or whomever's. But 3 minutes after you set the phone down, Quicksquaddle knocks on your door.
So we're being monitored.
Well, it was a given.
I'm dramatically shrugging my shoulders.
That's a given. If he wasn't monitoring us, I'd be worried.
I mean, they made the reservations for us. It's fine. It's fine. They're definitely not going to use it nefariously.
So well, he's there, I'm assuming, now.
Still dressed in his armor. Evening, gentlemen.
So we decided to take you up on your job offer, I guess you can call it.
Excellent. Very wise decision.
So how do we go about acquiring items we're going to need for our various missions?
Sure. First things first, unfortunately, I do have accountants to appease. And he holds his hand out, and someone who's not standing in front of the door hands him a briefcase. He opens it and hands each one of you a file. Inside the file is run-of-the-mill mundane tax forms, W-9, I-2, state and local declarations. Says, this is America, and shrugs your shoulders. Your banking information is also there. I appreciate your minor restraint with the card. So I've transferred an appropriate amount to each of your accounts to finish off your sign-on bonus. As soon as you fill out banking information, that will be deposited directly into your account. If you don't have banking information because of your current limbo status, simply check the box on page 4, and we will set that up for you.
We're dead. We have nothing.
Yeah, as I say, we're dead. We don't have...
We don't pay taxes or anything. We're dead.
True. But in the meantime, I will leave you to your own devices, and he hands you another round of manila folders, and this one has, it's a dossier on Destro.
Interesting.
Just Destro?
Shouldn't there be two more files?
Did you not agree to go after Destro first?
I don't know. Did we tell him that?
No, you didn't tell him that.
Sure did not.
Interesting.
So is Silent telling him that?
He's just listening in on us.
Expect an update in a week. We can do it by Zoom if you're not in the country, or we can do it at a place of your choosing. I just need 24 hours notice. Until then, your lives are your own.
Are we talking like weekly updates here? We got to check in with you and EPS reports and all that?
Paying you a rather obscene amount of money. I'd just like to know that progress is being made on my investment. I'm not saying if you're in the middle of a jungle or something, the Zoom meeting doesn't have to be long. I just need some reassurance until we're in a pleasant working relationship.
This is a 5-year plan, let's remember. Just saying. It'll be a year before there's any real progress.
It could take some time. I understand that. And I'm prepared to wait so long as you have 5 years. But in the meantime, and he pulls the guy who's been handing him files from kind of off screen. This is, I'm paying homage to the ultimate butler. The man's name is Pennyworth. Mr. Pennyworth is your attaché. He works for you. You can give him any details. He can put you in contact with whomever you need to be in contact with for whatever scheme that you cook up. Mr. Pennyworth does not report to me. He is not on my payroll. You people want to figure out some way to, you know, keep him comfortable and on your side. I don't care how you do that. If you rob old ladies in the park and give him the change out of the lady's purse, that is entirely up to you. But he's incredibly well-connected and works best when he's, you know, comfortable and happy like most of us. So, I have some other pressing matters to attend to. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining my organization. He shakes each one of your hands, and as he shakes your hand, he looks you straight in the eye. He says, I look forward to a fruitful relationship. I will talk to you in some form in a week. He nods, turns around, walks away. Pennyworth's just kind of standing there holding two briefcases and looking at your paperwork that you haven't started filling out yet.
Holding two briefcases. Well, you might as well come in, Pennyworth. Take a seat.
So is Pennyworth an older man?
Yeah. I mean, you have to be careful when we say older man because, you know, I'm kind of old in real life.
Yeah, I think I'm
50 to 60 years old.
Yeah, he's got some gray. He might die a little bit. He's probably in his mid to late 50s. So he's much, 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 much older than I am.
Not much older than me.
About my age. I don't like the way this conversation is going.
And just for lack of description, and because I really like Alfred, he looks like Alfred.
Okay. So, Penny.
Sir.
You got a family?
Not much of one, sir.
Married?
Not married. Lifelong bachelor, no children. Other than my parents are deceased. I have a few cousins floating about that I have dinner with maybe once a year, but no one I'm close to.
All right. Nobody likes a breaker, Penny. No, no attack.
Own your own home. Own your own home? Paying mortgage.
I own several properties. I lease out a few.
Well, I guess we can't use this black card to pay off his house.
What would you say you know about us?
Almost nothing, sir. We're gifted soldiers and tacticians, and I am to help you consolidate power for Mr. Quetzalcoatl in order to make the world, if not a better place, at least a little more peaceful in the short term.
Do you believe that?
Don't know, sir. I'm hopeful, but I would like to do my best to help make sure that happens, but I have to confess that I'm not entirely pleased with the way that Mr. Quetzalcoatl established your employment, shall we say? And I hope that still bears some fruit, because despite his heavy-handed manner, he has a point.
So have you always been a butler?
Much like the clergy, it is a bit of a calling.
Never served military or anything like that?
No, sir. I did not have that privilege.
Privilege?
So why do you want to work for us?
It's not a matter of want, sir. I work for Mr. Quetzalcoatl, and he assigned me to assist you in your endeavors.
Oh, so you do work for Pixie.
He's the baseline of my employment.
Okay, but Penny said you never had the privilege of serving. So you are patriotic.
I think most people are at their core, or at least pleasantly nationalist.
Alrighty.
Do you believe in doing bad things for the better good?
The ends justify the means?
Just trying to get a feel for him.
I don't know that is my personal tenet, but I recognize the utility, let me say.
At the end of the day, we're going to have to know where your loyalties lie. We're a pretty tight-knit group here. We wouldn't want somebody who's running back and talking to daddy all the time.
Which is why he doesn't pay me. It is always entirely possible that it could be working for him and secretly spying on you, but he believes that you should be unfettered so that you can properly engage in the task with which he has given you. So I don't get money from him. I don't make my living from him. I'm not beholden to him for my base existence. I am beholden to you, and he pulls out like an envelope from his inside jacket pocket. He's not wearing a tuxedo, but he's wearing a nice suit. And he hands it to you and says, this is some of my expectations. And I'm going to need a week off in 3 weeks to attend my cousin's wedding.
Ask him about family. He's got no family.
And there's an amount written on the envelope. So just to throw out general numbers. Working for Quetzalcoatl, you guys pull down a salary of about $10 million a year. You make approximately $200,000 a week, give or take. And from the money that you input, and you can spend this however you want, you got to pay Pennyworth. And Pennyworth wants $1 million a year.
All right. Is that $10 million each, or is that $10 million for the team? So $2.5 million
each. Each.
Okay.
$10 million each.
Okay, $10 million each. That's $250,000 from each one of us.
Or does he want a mil from each?
He wants $1 million a year. That's his salary. However you guys divide that up to, in order to engage that is up to you, but...
A quarter piece. Quarter million from each of us per year.
Sure. Yes. Sure. I'll say, yep, that's fine. I agree to your salary, and I'm going to hand him my files and say, go ahead and fill these out for me, and I'm going to go over and sit on the couch.
Of course, sir. He immediately pulls up to the table and starts scribbling stuff. He doesn't even ask any questions. He just starts filling shit out.
For me.
Pennyworth, do you have any special skills?
I have several, sir. Could you be more specific?
While he's doing the
combat,
I'm going to sit at the table and start filling my papers out myself.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm a black belt in Judo and Aikido. Only first degree.
Are you familiar with technology?
Yes, sir. I hesitate to call myself a hacker. But I can get around.
So you could be base support.
Yes, sir. I have a bachelor's degree in logistics and scheduling and a master's degree in business from Yale.
Okay. I guess I'm going to start scribbling some stuff on my paperwork.
Okay. We can fast forward through all this. All of your W-9s and I-2s and all of the tax information that the government loves to impose upon us all is filled out and ready to go. They're tucked into one of Pennyworth's two briefcases, and he says he will file this with the appropriate personnel, and he pulls out another envelope in the same inside pocket that the salary envelope came out of. He says, this is my contract for employment. I'll leave you gentlemen to peruse this at your leisure, and I will be back at what time will you be desiring breakfast?
Well, we're military, so 6 a.m.
Ooh. Some of us are military. Oh, let's not get crazy. Some of us are night owls here. 6:30.
Oh, so 4 a.m.
Well, yeah, I'll have my third dinner at 4 a.m. All right, 6, fine.
I'm with, was Silverback? Military also, so 6 is fine for me.
I'll be back at 5:55.
You'll be judged strictly on your croissants, partially even.
He turns to you in all seriousness and says, yes, sir. He gets up, gives you a half-assed, well, not a half-assed, but like a half bow, and leaves the room.
Well, do we want to get some rest tonight before our big murder spree starts?
Yeah.
Okay. So, go to bed. And in the morning, we're plotting to kill whom?
Oh, Destro.
Destro.
It's the only file we got.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you really have your heart set on killing somebody else, that file can be obtained.
Yeah, I think Axie pushed us in a direction. I think he sent a clear message to us.
Do we have any equipment with us?
No. You have maybe a sidearm or two. You have basic
nothing
equipment.
Nothing that we can wait for bugs or anything?
You have what you outfitted with when you left the pit for the last time. So if you have some sort of bug sweeper, then you probably have that.
And yeah, he was sending a message to us. The message is he knows what we're talking about and he knows what we're up to.
So I still have some audio bugs. I'm going to give one to Penny here. I'm not going to bug him. I'm going to literally give him the bug. Just in case you need to get a hold of us. No, go ahead and use this discreetly.
Yes, sir. Any other precautions?
Not at this point. I'm still... Knowing that Destro knows our plans, I'm...
You mean Crixie knows our plans?
No, I mean, keeping our options real. He knows our plans. Well, he knows everything. He knows everything. He knows we plan on coming against him at some point. Sooner than we wanted him to.
Maybe we just don't talk to Silent Interlude anymore.
I don't think it was Silent Interlude that ratted us out, if you will. Again, she was sent from Snake Eyes. I trust him from everything I know.
It could have been a drone in the air that was over listening.
Yeah. He had some other way of spying on us. Maybe something he stuck something on one of us. Maybe there was some long-range mic.
You know, that is a point. He could have stuck something on one of us. We probably need to get rid of the uniforms and stuff that we're wearing. Actually, we've already changed into clothes, if I'm not mistaken. Get rid of that. Go to the hotel, go downstairs, and pick up some new clothes.
Well, we can do that. I don't know 100% that's where it came from, though. Because, again, we are talking about someone with state-of-the-art equipment.
Okay. One thing I don't want you guys to worry about is money or source of income. So 10 minutes after Pennyworth leaves the room, you get a package. Each one of you gets a small package about the size of a new cell phone box. So, you know, it's 4 or 5 inches long, 3 or 4 inches wide, 1 or 2 inches deep. And it's got 2 fake passports with your picture and a variety of names and 2 credit cards. One in, well, neither one's in your real name because no one knows your real name. But one is tied to the banking information that you wrote on the paperwork. And the other one is for the cover identity. When you look at your account balance in your new own app for your banking, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars in it. That's your sign-on bonus from Quetzalcoatl.
Okay.
So you have money, and you can start paying Pennyworth whatever $1 million a year is, if you pay him every week or every 2 weeks, or, you know, I don't care. So you have money, and you have access to things. So what you want to do with that is entirely up to you.
I mean, we're in Houston. Speaking of city, I'm going to go find an upscale, not the fanciest of places, but I need a new suit, and I want a nice one. I'm going to go get myself a nice new suit, something I used to wear when I was working for extensive enterprises, something clean, you know, for when I was back in the business world.
A good shower works. Same thing, though. Need to get new clothes.
Yeah. And you have plenty of money to buy or get basically whatever you want. It's kind of the point I was making with that. So if you want a new G.I. Joe uniform, this would be the place in the comic books where you, you know, you put on a new uniform. So your G.I. Joe look is updated and all fancy and stuff now. And I guess I'm just making one last effort to see if you want to do any cautionary measures. Clearly, Quetzalcoatl has an idea of what's going on beyond probably what he should.
Sure. So one of the things is, even though Penny set up my paperwork, I'm going to immediately set up an account, completely separate account, Swiss account, whatever, out it around where I can put significant amount of money away for me for if I lose access to these accounts. Slush fund, okay, if you will. Something that'll, you know, the GTFO fund.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
Sounds good.
It's about 15 minutes to set up, and it's trouble-free.
Excellent. I also, we do need some sort of vehicles to get around town. Well, actually, we're going to Scotland, really. So I'm going to book passage. We got money. Get our passage going.
Well, before we do that, let's do the file and see what all we have on it. If that's where he's hanging out nowadays, just because he's from Scotland doesn't mean he's still...
Well, if he's not there, then we just take over Mars Enterprise and force him to come to us, right? I mean, we got to take out Baroness too, remember?
Right. So while he's doing that, I'm going to start reading through the file we have on Destro.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll start booking passage for us, whatever. I can be the travel agent for us all. I think we'll fly into London. No, might as well spend some time on a, you know, Hoffin City.
Edinburgh is the capital of Scotland. The corporate headquarters of Mars Enterprises is in Glasgow. And Destro's family home is in, and I'm quickly trying to Google all that information. Give me just a second.
Just to say to the other guys, I don't think we want to fly into Scotland. I feel if there's going to be any place that Destro might have some extra influence, it would be in Scotland. So I'm thinking flying into London.
Right. Going there more discreetly.
I'm going to assume the Highlands way up. It is on water, if I remember right. Just trying to think from the episode where they have the monster in the basement of Castle Destro. I think they're on water, right?
Near water, yeah.
On the ocean is what my assumption always was.
Hey, Eric. Okay, yes, we're in Houston. We've got plenty of money. Is there a place where I can go to stock up on a little bit of tech?
Yes. I mean, I don't know exactly where, but...
You know, black market or something.
Yeah. You can find something within 24 hours to basically get whatever you want.
Okay.
So, Edinburgh is on the water. Glasgow is not.
And in issue 57, when they dealt with Destro, they said he flew into Glasgow.
Okay.
So, I'm assuming it's relatively nearby. Glasgow is what I would assume.
Is that the sound of us going to Glasgow?
Yeah. Sound of my noisy ass neighbor, but yeah. So let's say that Castle Destro is in the highlands near Ayr, A-Y-R, which appears to be about 50 miles south of Glasgow on the Firth of Clyde.
So after we land, I mean, are we ready to go to London or?
Actually, no. Well, we're not going to do that. In fact, I'm just trying to see what else you guys are doing. But as far as the plot to kill Destro, we're going to push that back till next session.
I'm going to stock up on some supplies. I need to find a state-of-the-art laptop, something that we can use to hack stuff, maybe a white noise generator or something.
And we'll do a modified loadout phase at the beginning of next session.
Okay.
You guys can, you know, I'm going to develop a couple of custom rules just to make it feel a little different than walking into Brickhouse's office and saying, hey, give me this.
Okay.
Is anyone doing anything else that would be special and or out of the ordinary?
Nothing I can think of at this point.
Me either.
No.
Fine. Those are all perfectly acceptable answers. So I think it would probably be best to call it here.
Thank you for listening in to this adventure. Join us bi-weekly as the battle against Cobra continues. Also, listen to the other G.I. Joe shows on this network. G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, covers the original adventures of the Real American Hero team, both the Larry Hama comic and the Sunbow cartoon. Then, over on Bravo Team, General Head and Articulated Chad look at all the other aspects of the G.I. Joe universe. G.I. Joe and all related characters and names are trademarked by Hasbro. We at the Headcast Network claim no rights of ownership other than our thoughts presented. Everything else is owned by Hasbro. We're just really big fans sharing our love of G.I. Joe. Check out the G.I. Joe comics from Marvel Comics, Devil's Due Publishing, and currently IDW Publishing. And if you're enjoying the game we're playing, why don't you check out RenegadeGameStudios.com, buy the game, and play with your friends. And remember to join us in 2 weeks as the adventure continues.
Yo, Joe.
Okay. I got the crossover book in the mail 2 days ago. I haven't even really opened it. So I've read the PDF. And it has the Envoy class in it, which is Greystone. I've been trying to, I know Greystone in real life. And I play in one of his games that he runs. And I've been bugging him to switch Greystone over from whatever psychological soldier class he is to an Envoy, which is out of the field guidebook. I'm happy they're producing more content a lot faster than the Fallout people are. The Fallout game's been out for 3 or 4 years, and they're just now producing the first adventure book for it, which is endlessly aggravating. But
so is Marines in this new book?
No. Still no Marines. They gotta save something, I guess. But they have an Envoy class, which is like a psychological manipulator type guy. And they have some new roles and some new origins that kind of let you kind of get a feel of the powers for Transformers and Power Rangers, which is interesting. And they're making some steps into factions. So, essentially there are none in G.I. Joe because you work for G.I. Joe or, you're a bad guy that works for Cobra. But future books, and especially the Cobra-centric one that's coming out probably at Gen Con in August, will have factions for Cobra, extensive enterprises, and I assume the Iron Grenadiers and, all the various Cobra bad guys.
Yeah, I've pre-ordered that one.
Yep.
The Cobra Codex source book.
That'd be fun.
And
also where it said the Cobra dice.
Yep. Well, I didn't do the dice. I have plenty of dice. I have plenty of dice bags. And my personal opinion is that the character journals are just a waste of money because the second you write down the character that you're supposed to run and have the 60-page journal, he's going to die. So,
you know how I know you're a lying GM? Because you said you have too many dice.
Yeah. I have 3 full travel bags of dice. I have 2 treasure chests, like the little knick-knacky Walmart things at home. And I have a miscellaneous bag because I haven't sorted out to put the rest into the other many bags. So I don't have too many, but I have enough.
Just ensured my wife will never hear this podcast. I don't want her getting those ideas in her head. Too many times.
I am truly a blessed man because my girlfriend I don't think has the patience or tolerance for actual role playing, but she likes the dice. One of her mainstay presents to me are dice of all types and kinds and textures, and she bought me my first pair of stone dice. But
were they pink?
They were not. They were gray and red. The numbers were painted in red. But if she bought me a set of pink dice, I would gladly roll them as long as, you know, they were cool.
Yeah, when I was at C2E2, I bought my first stone dice. There was a booth that paid what you rolled. And so it was real dicey buying a D20. Luckily, rolled single digits. And then bought a couple pairs of D4s because, I mean, that's just obvious.
Yo, Joe!